We are back at the time of the year when NatPlan will reappear shortly. So this episode is all on NatPlan and why we need to remove the pressure that our kids are feeling around these NatPlan exams. Let's dive in. So like I said in my introduction, we are back at that time of the year when NatPlan tests are reappearing. Now NatPlan is set to be done, pretty sure it's early to mid-May. I did have the dates written down, but now I don't know where I put them. But NatPlan is due in a little while. And we always see, you know, quite a large range of parents' opinions and ideas and teachers' opinions and ideas at this time of the year, all surrounding the NatPlan exams. Now, with NatPlan, something that I've seen quite dramatically since even the beginning of NatPlan is that it tended to be an exam where teachers were teaching to the test, and parents felt like they also needed to give their, children a little bit of extra work towards NatPlan in particular. But you know what? I am totally for we should not be forcing our kids and we should not be teaching to the test of NatPlan. When I was at school, we did ELLA testing, and I think ELLA testing was in year 8 from memory. But, you know, it wasn't drummed into us. We didn't sit in class and do lots of, you know, spelling, grammar, punctuation. We'll do persuasive writing. We'll look at narrative texts and those types of things so that we were all ready to take the exam. We just rocked up on the day. And our parents might have told us the morning of the exam, and we just did it. So it was such a different, you know, point that we're sort of looking at. So if you're not sure what NatPlan is, it's an exam that's done for children in year 3, 5, 7, and 9 across literacy and numeracy. And I think there are similar ones for science, from memory, but they're done at different times of the year. Now, it tells us lots of things, and the data that we receive from NatPlan does tell us lots of things. In recent years, there has been a massive swing with parents just telling their kids to simply try their hardest. And I feel like that is so important. You know, we need to remember that NatPlan is just a snapshot of our children's abilities on a particular day. It doesn't mean anything else. It doesn't give us clues to what's going on for our kids. It might give us some clues about things they were struggling with that we weren't sure of, but other than that, it doesn't tell us if the child just didn't feel like doing the exam, if they were trying their hardest, or if they felt unwell on the day. It doesn't tell us any of that information. It does, like I said, it does provide some relevant information. And, you know, as a tutoring centre, we do ask parents for NatPlan results when they first sign up, just so that we can just have a look, just to see. But most of the time we will find massive inconsistencies between your class teacher's reports, what the NatPlan reports are saying, and then what we find during tutoring sessions as well. Now, I see so many people, though, teaching to the test and putting a huge importance on NatPlan that really shouldn't be there. And I feel like that is one of the reasons why there is more anxiety related to tests and taking tests that is coming out with our kids now, because they are being made to feel like their success and their success in the skills that they understand and they work well with is all tied to testing. Now, our classroom for child has a spelling test every week. That also has the same effect. The child then feels like they are being judged every single week on their spelling. Now, spelling, and I mean, I'm completely against spelling tests. And I see some, you know, teachers, they then do peer marking. So then the poor child who might struggle with spelling has to have their work marked by another kid in their class. That creates extreme anxiety in our kids. So there are other ways and other things that we can do to test our kids' spelling that doesn't have to be a weekly spelling test in particular. But, you know, it is important to look at the test and look at elements of what the test is doing. But we should not be teaching and focusing on it because it's not the best strategy for our kids, particularly our strugglers and those kids that are feeling really anxious about sitting the test. You know, and like I said, we have put this pressure on them. Now, although there has been a shift away from, you know, school league tables and using that data to show which schools are doing well in that plan and those types of things, that was creating anxiety in parents, let alone kids. But then it created this huge competition between schools to be the best school, and we have the best NAT plan results, and you know, that's why you should come and spend all of this money with us, and that's why you should come and send your kids and be schooled by us. But at the end of the day, having our kids be feeling happy and confident and their mental health being looked after is way, way, way more important than how well a school performs at NAT plan. Because if those kids have been taught the test, then it's not an accurate representation of their skills. Now, we put so much pressure on our kids to do well in exams and tests that it has been massively detrimental to our kids' mental health. You know, we want them to do well in assessments, we want them to do well in tests. We still have tests and, you know, major exams in year 12 that kids are working towards. But we're still creating that anxiety for our kids. Like, you have to do well as well in your HSC, because if you don't, then you can't go to uni, you can't do this and that. But there are so many other pathways, and I think that we need to keep exploring those other pathways. Now, NAT plan in the last couple of years, though, has shifted slightly. So our original NAT plan tests that were done on paper was one test to look at how all kids were going across Australia in the year groups, and it was originally meant to be a tracker to see how the kids' skills were growing between years 3, year 5, year 7 and 9. It has highlighted really fantastic data for us to be able to see. One of those pieces of data has been that perhaps we're not teaching our kids, you know, to read, for example, as well as we could be. And then we see now, particularly this year, a massive shift in outdated reading strategies and looking more at that science of reading. And I think I spoke about the science of reading a few episodes ago. But that data that we've collected from NAT plan has allowed for these shifts to happen. So these are the shifts that are really important, and these are the changes that are really important in our education system that would not have happened if we didn't have this data coming through. But there has to be a better way for us to be getting our kids to take these tests and exams. Now, like I was saying 5 seconds before I went on a different tangent, was that our physical test papers originally was this basically is the standard that students in year 7, for example, should be able to read, comprehend and, you know, spell. And that one test paper was given to every single child as a standard. Now, if you're a struggler, and you couldn't read the information in the first place, then that created the first anxiety for the child, that they can't actually read or understand the information, which then means they can't answer the questions, which then, because majority of those questions are colouring in a little circle, meant that kids would just go and make a pretty pattern on their page and hope for the best. But the new version, the online version, is changing, and it's changing things for the better. So if your child has not had a go at the online version yet, I think that the idea behind the online version is fantastic. And what it does is that it automatically makes questions harder or easier based on the results from the students. Now, it does that in several ways. So if a student got one question wrong and then it flipped to another question of a similar stand and they got that one wrong, the test will automatically regenerate a question or a piece of text that is easier for that student to understand. So then the student can answer the question. What that does is that it creates more confidence in our kids. So instead of our kids getting question after question after question where they feel like they don't understand any of the questions that they're being given, because the test makes itself harder, it helps their self-confidence and also provides a more accurate picture of exactly where your child is sitting. So it shows us exactly what level that they're sitting at, what band that they're sitting at, because the test is automatically changing itself. And it gives us a more accurate picture of the year level that they might be operating at for that particular, you know, test or exam. Now, it though means that students are needing to type answers for English, for example, for their extended responses, rather than write by hand. If your child has not had significant practice at typing on a computer or formatting correctly on a computer, then they're going to struggle. Now, it will not automatically spell check, which I think is marvellous. They cannot get out of the screen and look at other things either. The screen locks on this test only, which is fantastic. But if your child has not been typing and been typing for a while, then you might, for example, try and get them to do some typing exercises, whether you want them to write a letter, typing on the computer, just so that they get used to typing, so that they can find the letters comfortably on the keyboard and see what it looks like on the computer screen. The one thing with that, though, is that you do need to make sure that your child is checking their punctuation and full stops and capital letters and not relying on the computer to pick those up. So it still does spelling, it still looks at punctuation and sentence structure, it still looks at uses of capital letters, and then the format that the student has written their ideas in, just in a slightly different way. And I guess you could perhaps argue it's those 21st century skills that students will have to use outside of school that they are also getting the chance to prep on. But the whole process for it is a bit better than the traditional test papers. I would, though, still recommend your child to ask for some spare paper, particularly for the maths exam. And I think you might also need to double check whether your child can take in their actual school calculator, because I've heard from students that the maths exam firstly, some students weren't allowed to take their calculators in because the computer gives them a calculator. Now, if that's just the basic calculator that they're not used to, like our Year 7 up kids are used to their scientific calculators, then they might need some practice in how to use the basic calculator that they're given on the NAPLAN screen to be able to accurately answer those questions that they need help with. I am in two minds about that. I know originally they had a calculator and a non-calculator section, and I guess it means that the kids are definitely not using a calculator if they're not allowed to take one in, and then the calculator appears on the screen for the questions that are a calculator-based question. But I would definitely recommend you just double-checking the guidelines in terms of that, and then giving your child some practice at using an online calculator so they know basic operations and how to find those responses and those questions in there. But I guess the whole point of this episode is that you don't want to put that much pressure on your kid that the NAPLAN results are everything that we need to know and you have to try and blah, blah, blah. We should be asking our kid to try their hardest in any exam or assessment in the first place, but just reminding them that they can only do what they can do. And they shouldn't be so caught up, and we shouldn't be so caught up on their exams as well. But like I said, it does give us some valuable information about where our kids are sitting perhaps, but doesn't tell us if they're taking it seriously. So I know there's been a few kids who didn't take their NAPLAN seriously when they first did it online and perhaps raced against each other to see who could get to the end of the paper quick enough. Now, obviously, their NAPLAN results are not going to be an accurate representation of what they know, because they were having a race to see who could get to the end and click the buttons the quickest. So I definitely think that there is something that we want to be thinking about. But definitely, if you can give your kids the chance to practice typing on a computer and also practice using an online calculator, it's going to help them in their exam. But we definitely should not be teaching to the NAPLAN test, and we definitely should not be putting that pressure on our kids in home as well. Until next time, hope you all have a good week. Breakaway.